These are above all personal essays, small by definition, short by necessity. Early on in the crisis, I picked up Marcus Aurelius and for the first time in my life, read his Meditations, not as an academic exercise nor in pursuit of pleasure, but with the same attitude I bring to the instructions for a flat-packed table. I was in need of practical assistance. That the assistance Aurelius offers is for the spirit makes it no less practical, in my view. Since that moment, one form of crisis has collided with another, and I am no more a stoic now than I was when I opened that ancient book. But I did come out with two invaluable intimations. Talking to yourself can be useful, and writing means being overheard. Peonies. Just before I left New York, I found myself in an unexpected position, clinging to the bars of the Jefferson Market Garden, looking in. A moment before, I'd been on the run as usual, intending to exploit 2 minutes of time I carved out of the 45-minute increments into which, back then, I divided my days. Each block of time packed tight and levelled off precisely, like a child prepping a sandcastle. 2 free minutes meant a macchiato. In an ideal, cashless world, if nobody spoke to me. In those days, the sharp end of my spade was primed against chatty baristas, overly friendly mothers, needy students, curious readers, anyone I considered a threat to the program. Oh, I was very well defended. But this was a sneak attack by horticulture. Tulips. Springing up in a little city garden from a triangle of soil where 3 roads met. Not a very sophisticated flower, a child could draw it, and these were garish, pink with orange highlights. Even as I was peering in at them, I wished they were peonies. City-born, city-bred, I wasn't aware of having an especially keen interest in flowers, at least no interest strong enough to forego coffee. But my fingers were curled round those iron bars. I wasn't letting go, nor was I alone. Either side of Jefferson stood 2 other women, both around my age, staring through the bars. The day was cold, bright, blue. Not a cloud between the World Trade and the old 7-digit painted phone number for Bigelow's. We all had somewhere to be. But some powerful instinct had drawn us here, and the predatory way we were ogling those tulips put me in mind of Nabokov, describing the supposed genesis of Lolita. He writes, "As far as I can recall, the initial shiver of inspiration was somehow prompted by a newspaper story about an ape in the Jardin des Plantes, who, after months of coaxing by a scientist, produced the first drawing ever charcoaled by an animal. This sketch showed the bars of the poor creature's cage." I've always been interested in that quote, but without believing a word of it. Something inspired Lolita. I'm certain no primates were involved. The scientist offers the piece of charcoal, expecting or hoping for a transcendent revelation about this ape. But the revelation turns out to be one of contingency, of a certain set of circumstances, of things as they happen to be. The ape is caged in by its nature, by its instincts, and by its circumstance. Which of these takes the primary role is for zoologists to debate. So it goes. I didn't need a Freudian to tell me that 3 middle-aged women teetering at the brink of perimenopause had been drawn to a gaudy symbol of fertility and renewal in the middle of a barren concrete metropolis. And, indeed, when we 3 spotted each other, there were shamefaced smiles all round. But in my case, the shame was not what it would have once been back in the day, back when I first read Lolita as a young woman. At that time, the cage of my circumstance, in my mind, was my gender. Not its actuality, I liked my body well enough. What I didn't like was what I thought it signified, that I was tied to my nature, to my animal body, to the whole simian realm of instinct, and far more elementally so than, say, my brothers. I had cycles. They did not. I was to pay attention to clocks. They needn't. There were special words for me lurking on the horizon, prepackaged to mark the possible future stages of my existence. I might become a spinster. I might become a crone. I might be a